Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
I just kind of backed myself into this hole, and I was hurting. And as a man, as a gladiator, so to speak, that at this persona that we play, you know, you can't show no sign of weakness. But I was weak, you know, and I felt so vulnerable. I felt so scared. I felt so afraid because, you know, I knew I wasn't myself.
I didn't know what the was wrong with my shoulder. Like, I just knew it hurt, and I knew that it was an issue. Like, I couldn't throw the ball further than, like, 30 yards. Like, no lie.
That's Cam Newton, gladiator that he is. TMZ today has a piece that's just out. Cam Newton touches down in L.A. in fresh outfit after signing with Pats. I'm trying to describe this outfit. They describe it for you. Decked out in a plaid shirt with pink pants, a pink sweater around his neck. Looks like Easter in June.
He's going to bring some style back to the Northeast. You're going to see little kids walking around looking like Cam Newton.
It's going to be hard.
Does he speak at the airport here, Ryan? Excited. Does he speak?
Do you guys want to hear the...
Yeah, let me hear him.
This is the crack staff at TMZ interviewing Good. Cam Newton.
All right.
Cam, what's up, man? How you doing? Congratulations. How's it feel to be part of Patriot Nation? Excited?
Y'all call y'all man.
How excited are you to play for Bill Belichick? Best in the business. Excited? Look, if you had one message for Patriot Nation, right? They lost Tom Brady, the greatest of all time. Do you have any messages for Patriot Nation? Any comments at all?
Sounds perfect.
Yeah, wow. He's not saying anything. I will give him credit, though. He's unlike Brady, he's wearing a mask, and he gets complimented by TMZ.
You remember that?
Don't give him anything.
I mean, Christian, he's kind of tough to miss. It's a 6'4" guy in a picnic blanket and a straw hat.
I'm trying
hat
to find
to baggage claim.
That TMZ, though, right?
I think it's a good look.
All right.
It's not a bad look.
Lou, you're going to be taking now. Mason there back to school shopping?
Not a bad.
Yep. Well, Mason's all excited when I told him they signed Cam. He's all excited.
He does like hats. Yep. Jamal is in a car. Jamal.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. I just want to start this phone call off real quick by saying when we were in free agency limbo, I called the show and said that Brady was going to go to Miami. So that's actually a semi-correct prediction, right?
You went to Florida.
You get half credit.
We'll give
credit.
It to you.
Partial credit.
Good job.
All right, cool. I appreciate that. I'm so excited about this season. I was excited before the announcement, but now I'm even more excited about this season. It's kind of like perfectly set up to be like another storybook kind of season if everything goes right. And I just have this one scenario real quick. Imagine Newton gets hurt. No, Newton starts the first four games, gets hurt game four, Stidham starts game five. Then there's another kind of controversy like it was with Brady and Bledsoe. Belichick goes on, faces Brady in the Super Bowl. Will there still and loses to Brady in the Super Bowl? Will there still be the question of who was better, Brady or Belichick?
Okay.
Okay.
So now that would be nice. Now I have dreams. You know, Cam versus Brady in the Super Bowl.
Movie on demand next week.
If you can. So now Bill is Joe Gibbs. winning quarterbacks, winning Super Bowls with different quarterbacks every single time.
AFC title game, Pats, Chiefs, NFC, Niners, Bucks. Would that just be a wet dream?
You just hold on a second. It's moving.
Niners,
you're
Bucks.
You're just really getting me going now.
Pats, Chiefs.
It would be fantastic.
Ugh.
And then it gets suspended because of COVID-19.
Patriots would beat the Chiefs, right?
He thinks they have a shot. Do you?
No.
No, I don't either. Not with Cam. I think with Cam, I'm going to go from six. My over-under just jumped up to nine. And I think they compete for the AFC East now. They compete, and they're a playoff team. If they don't win the AFC East, they're a wild card team.
I tell you what, as far as, a nice little toy to play with, like you've been playing with the same old toy for 20 years, and you finally got the new and improved version, the bigger, stronger version. It does all these cool things. It's the G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip, that whole thing.
Superman, open his chest.
Yeah, he's just...
Does the first down marker.
Oh, you got everything.
He's going to make football fun again.
And Lombardi Lombardi talked about it. So what do you think those quarterback sneaks are going to look like? You think that success will keep going with this monster in the backfield? I mean, he's Corey Dillon,
yeah,
basically, mm-hmm, but stronger. Mm-hmm. Some of his workouts, you see the dude with his shirt off, and you're like, uh-oh, this guy is, he's not doing band workouts, I can tell you that much. He's not doing band workouts.
No.
He's not doing any of that stuff.
So he doesn't free have weights. I thought pliability was the way to go if you're a quarterback.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's what I was taught for 20 years.
You're too pliable.
Pliability.
Everyone's different.
He may be able to touch his toes, but he ain't pliable.
You got to get on the CN1 diet.
Jacob is in Wellesley. Hey, Jacob.
Jacob's in Wellesley. Why are people so high on Stidham?
Hey, Jacob.
So I want to know why people are so exactly high on Stidham when all he's done is thrown four passes. All he's done for New England is sell whatever his wife is selling on Instagram. Really has done nothing. My second question is, more importantly, is Belichick going to try to change the way Cam Newton is? Because we haven't really had someone who's, I don't really know the word for it, but out
yes
there is Cam Newton with his fashion and this. Like, what?
So let's start with the second question. Yes, I think they will, but they will look at his skill set and feature that. But they may fine-tune a lot of stuff. They're just not going to let Cam Newton go on his own out there. I mean, we've seen that in the past he's made a lot of mistakes. So I think they're going to try to, take the best of him, what you've got athletically.
Can I try the
and
first
try
one?
To weave it into their offense?
What was the first one?
The first one is, why are people so high on Stidham? It's because you people are brainwashed and you believed everything you read that was coming out of Foxborough to make you believe that he's as good as maybe they want you to believe. That's what I think.
Yeah, I agree with you because even the analysts, the scouts, I had a first round grade on him. You know how many scouts have first round grades on players, not just quarterbacks, and a team doesn't pick them up? That doesn't mean they're a first round talent. It doesn't mean that they're going to be, an all pro. So comparing the two, that's why I say Stidham's going to pee down his leg when Newton walks into the room, because one, he went to Auburn. Two, there was nothing but pictures of Cam Newton, Heisman Trophy, all over the University of Auburn. He was on the sideline of games. The guy is physically imposing, just his sheer presence.
Well, let me ask you this. Wouldn't that tell you an awful lot about Stidham in a bad way?
No, it's probably expected.
The guy hasn't
done anything he's gotten. Again, I always said accolades because he had good batting practice. He hasn't done anything. Listen, deep down, he's a competitor. He should look at Cam Newton and he should want to compete. But deep down, he knows that this guy is what he is. And if he's healthy, then he'll bide his time, continue to work. And if Cam goes down, hopefully he'll be ready.
Listen, I truly believe that what I'm hearing, that they do like Stidham an awful lot. Now, they don't know what he's going to be like when you put him out into the fire of it all. But I would say this, I'd be very worried if I were Belichick and others, if he's intimidated with Cam Newton coming in there. Matter of fact, it would not surprise me at all if part of the motivation by Bill Belichick is to do exactly that, because he wants to give him some competition. Maybe he believes Hoyer's not going to be competition, or at least Stidham doesn't believe
both.
That he's the competition.
I think he gets both. He gets to sleep at night knowing he's got an NFL starting quarterback now to basically be the quarterback and the leader of his franchise. So that's why I never believed that you would ever hand the keys off to the New England Patriots to a kid that's thrown four passes. And with that, he can find out a lot about Stidham, who he still likes, but is just not ready to start in this league, and see how he handles it, see how he progresses. And maybe by week 8, week 9, if that injury happens that you believe it will, now I think the kid will be more prepared to play in this league than he would be week 1. Listen, find out, you get both.
Yeah, I think that's the big question with Cam Newton. Can you keep him upright? And I'll give him credit. He goes out there every Sunday and he says, screw it, my shoulder's hurt, but I'm going to play, because, of course, he's a gladiator. But that's not good for the football team if you can't throw the ball 20 yards.
What is interesting to me is that from afar, I can see the way other cities, other NFL cities, kind of, you know, look at Tom Brady. All you see are his post-game press conferences. All you see are his, you know, during the week press conferences, maybe something on Twitter, maybe something on Instagram. And you quickly create an idea of what he's like. I was on a radio station in Charlotte today, and I was killing Cam Newton. Okay, he he's dopey, and I just don't like the way he sounds. And I really don't like the way he says it. Like, it just seems like the message that he promotes is not, you know, conducive to having a good team. And what I heard was, well, you know, you're really gonna like this guy. He's totally different away from the microphone. My point was, well, all I see is what he gives me on the microphone. That's all I get. So the only I can only make an impression over what he gives me. So if he's giving me dopey, stupid, lazy answers and trying to act way cooler than he really is, then my perception of him is going to be that he's a dope.
You think they make him?
You know, that's hindsight's always 50-50.
You think they make him do his post game interviews before he showers?
Before he showers,
don't shower and get in that little outfit of yours. You can wear that in and out of the stadium, but, you know, when you're after the game, be in uniform and go to your pants off.
They're not going to restrict him at all.
No,
no, not at all.
Hats, it's funny. Hats everywhere.
Hats, scarves. Oh,
this is going to
feathers.
Oh, it's gonna be nice.
I mean, you name it. Just, you know, fanny packs, no fanny packs.
Nice
keychains. You know, Fox. Maybe he had that Fox thing hanging from his belt buckle.
Be entertaining.
Spurs on his boots. I would wish he would wear some Spurs.
And I'll say this. If he wins, people all of a sudden say, I like his style.
Exactly.
They will be dressing like him.
If he loses, they'll be like, look at this guy up in the podium.
He'll destroy him.
So it doesn't matter. Play well, we'll love the hats.
But I don't think,
if you suck, I'll hate the hat.
But I don't think any of that stuff is going to matter with the fans. Because you're right, Lou. It's all about winning or losing. I'm not as worried about him with teammates. Have we heard that he had problems with teammates down in Carolina? We didn't hear any of that stuff. We heard exactly what
Kelvin Benjamin.
Kelvin Benjamin ballooned up and looked like a tight end.
Right.
I think Kelvin Benjamin should look in the mirror.
But we heard a lot of what you're saying, Christian, and that is people didn't like his presence on the microphone. He walked away from the microphone in his post-game press conference at the Super Bowl. Remember that? And people killed him because of it. Destroyed him.
And that's my point, because you can sit there and you can look at the way Brady conducted himself in a lot of these games, especially last year, and you can say, what a jerk. You can say that about it, but you know what? He was our jerk, and he was our guy, so we defended him no matter what, and there was a reason why he was being so protective of everything that he said, and the reason why he never said anything, or the reason why he was short with his answers in order to protect himself. So based on what TMZ gave us, it seems like Newton got a quick little tutorial as far as what to stay away from, because I'm sure somebody told him, listen, they're going to run with everything you say tomorrow on radio. Every last word is going to be dissected. And I don't know how they treated him in Carolina. It's like one of the nicer cities. I don't know as far as their sports. We'll see.
Yeah, I think the public perception of him, if he wins, they'll find a way of laughing about what he wears, and they'll find a way of saying, yeah, it's cute, you know? But if I'm Tom Brady, I'm really pissed off. If Bill Belichick is going to let Cam Newton have fun here, because Tom went for all of these years, certainly the last couple of years, not having fun. He had to go to Tampa Bay to have fun. And now Bill's going to let Cam Newton have fun. We'll get into more of this. Plus, Major League Baseball has a analyst who now thinks there is very little chance that Major League Baseball is playing this year. What the hell happened? I thought they were all set. What happened? We get to all of that. And your phone call, 617-779-7937.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy.
Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, back here in OMF, I don't know if anybody's noticed, but the numbers are starting to spike up in a few of the states where we may be playing sports, like Florida and Texas and Georgia, Alabama, a couple other places. So Major League Baseball was all gung-ho. We finally last week got real optimism that they're going to play baseball July 24th, opening day. And then Buster Olney, who I would say is a real credible source, comes out with this today.
How confident are you that this season gets finished?
0%. Absolutely 0% based on what I'm hearing.
How confident are you that this season gets started with actual games?
I would put that at 5%. I think that they're going to at least try in the next couple weeks, but I, especially in the face of these spiking numbers, it wouldn't surprise me if it derails quickly.
Buster. Buster's been kind of pessimistic.
Is he the Adam Schefter of Major League Baseball?
Through it all.
But Lou, wait a minute. 5-0.
Well, that's what I mean.
That's really pessimistic.
I wouldn't put it at 0%.
0%.
So what's your percentage?
5%. No. I told you that even when the news came out that I was cautiously optimistic. And I've said the most important day, this is the most important week. Because on Wednesday, they're going to test these players. And they plan on starting their workouts on Friday. Now, camp's going to be 3 weeks. When those numbers come out on Wednesday, if it's 5% of what the NBA was, that's 90 players. 1,800 players are going to be tested. Then that's fine. I got a feeling it's going to be more.
And then a higher percentage?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, number one, I had a conversation today talking about what's going on in the Dominican. Apparently, they have a national election on Sunday. So they've opened up everything.
Oh, God.
And it's a mess. It's a mess down there. So, from what I was told. So when these guys come back, what is the rate? Is it going to be 5% like the NBA, or could it be higher? Just remember, if you lose a pitcher, he's not ready for the season. He's done for 3 weeks. And then the third week he comes back and he's on flat ground, maybe get him in a bullpen. He's not ready. Position player would be difficult, but maybe. So I just, the testing to me is too late. I don't understand why you're testing everybody this Wednesday and not last Wednesday. The NBA tested last week. The Celtics going down to Orlando, July 8th. You got a guy that's positive in the NBA a week and a half ago. He could fly down July 8th after 14 days of quarantine and join everybody and be on schedule. Baseball's waiting way too late. It's way too late for these guys.
So why do you think they're doing that? Because they're fearful those numbers are going to be high, and then again, bad optics, and people are going to sit there and say, why are you playing baseball? That's what they're going to do. I hear what you're saying. You're looking at the timetable of spring training and, go into quarantine right now so you can go back and play. They're looking at the whole optics of the game. I just think him coming out and saying 0% they get through the entire season and only 5% that they start up, what is he hearing?
Well, again, that's the you know, the million dollar question. What are you hearing? I mean, if you're talking to GMs who have a pulse on their roster and realize that a lot of these guys probably aren't going to make it, or they don't want to go in the first place. But to say 0% and then 5%, to me, that's too Adam Schefter-ish. You know, it's just too Adam Schefter-like, where doom and gloom and the fate of the world is like just on the fringe of blowing up. Like, that to me, that's too much.
Yeah, I wish he would expound on it, because maybe he's hearing, you know, less than excitement from the players. They were never excited anyway, based on the financial terms that they came to. And maybe Lou's right. Maybe the numbers out of the Dominican and other Caribbean countries is going to be a major problem.
We'll see. I just think that'll be a big day when we see what those numbers are and how the league handles those numbers. You talk about optics, right? I mean, yeah. So everybody went nuts with 16 players and 302 NBA players. I think those numbers go a lot higher. I think the percentages will be higher. Yeah, I talked to a few people in the game, and they're not too optimistic either, because they look at those protocols and they say they're not realistic. You know, we've said it before. I don't think they're realistic. So I think it starts this Wednesday when everybody gets tested. We see the results. And then you realize that maybe 3/5 of your rotation, you know, quarantined for 2 weeks. Now what do we do? So, you know, they have 60 guys. They're all inviting 60 guys. Not everyone's using 60. The Red Sox were at 47. They'll add more. But I think there's going to be a huge concern with bodies and how this whole thing is run and how they're able to conduct it when they're not in a bubble.
I think it has the tendency, in my book, to look kind of like a spring training game, where, let's just say, you know, a lot of guys get tested because they test it late and they have to miss the first couple weeks of the season. You're not going to know half the guys on the roster. You're not going to recognize them. It's going to be like the game that we called. Like, who's in right field? Some guy from, you know, Northeastern. You know, one of those dudes.
Well, I think you could very well look at a starting nine on opening day and say, you know, three starters are out because they're just not ready. You know, so will they still play? Sure. I think they will. But again, it's if they were in a bubble, if they were a league that was able to do that, I'd feel better about it. Being able to go home and maybe walk the streets in certain cities and not in other cities, and be able to fly and go to certain cities and not other cities. I mean, it's just going to be very inconsistent, and I think they're going to have to stay extremely disciplined. And once they get going, maybe you got a shot. Right. But I think the startup is going to be tough.
So the NBA is in a bubble, and Brian Windhorst feels totally different.
What is your percent confidence in that the NBA season does start?
100.
What is your confidence level in that this season ends in a championship?
90.
Yeah. That's odd. I mean, but again,
well, they are in a bubble, remember.
I know, but yes, but I also think, just like the doctors with this whole, you know, COVID-19 situation, if you get someone that's a little, you know, less aggressive than some other ones, or maybe not as educated, or maybe just overall just cautious. Their nature is to be cautious, to err on the side of caution in any situation. In life decisions, they're erring on the side of caution. Windhorst doesn't seem to be that type of person.
100.
Okay, but Olney seems to be the guy, the doom and gloom guy.
Again,
0%.
A lot's going on in Florida with cases spiking. They're going to be in a bubble. They're going to try to contain that bubble. Okay, so they got to worry about the Orlando situation they have going on at Disney. Major League Baseball, and what the NFL is going to face is, you know, you could have, you know, 6, 8, 10 teams that can't play at home. They may have to move out of state. You know, so it's a lot more complicated for 30 teams to try to move forward and be like, okay, we can't play in Arizona. Where are we going to play our games? You know, and it's just, they're more affected by each state dealing with it differently, as opposed to the NBA that says, this is what we're doing in Florida in a bubble.
Except I would say this, and we've debated this one for some time now. Trying to keep those guys in a bubble for 3.5 months is going to be very difficult. The latest numbers out of Florida, the testing, positive tests, are all with young people. Why? Because they opened up the bars. And so it's being passed amongst young people who are probably not going to die from it, but they're going to test positive. And so where do you think these guys are going to head out if they sneak out of the bubble? They're not going to the old nursing homes. They're going to
they're going to the local
bars. They're going to the local clubs. And that right now, that younger generation is where you're getting the spike of positive tests. So I think that's still in jeopardy. How about the NHL going to Vegas and suddenly the numbers are spiking up in Vegas because people are walking around without masks?
Yeah, but again, that doesn't, to me, that's expected.
What do you mean it's expected?
It's just, it's expected. It's like, you know, I didn't think people, cities would open up.
In a bubble?
Yes.
They're not expecting any positives after they originally, the original testing.
Even the numbers that they get, I think Major League Soccer, a bunch of their guys got tested. It was like at 2.7% of the players were positive. 2.7.
Texas is up to 13% now positive test.
Okay, and again, it's now. Tell me what that looks like in a month from now. Tell me what it looks like from a month from now. Like, was there this spike and then all of a sudden a decrease because everybody just caught up and this is the new normal? Maybe that's the new normal. I don't know.
I don't know what that means, but I would say this here in Massachusetts, you might have a case as we start opening things up, and we just opened up restaurants this past week. I'm not sure bars are going to open up for some time, but you could get a spike here because more people are going to come in contact with other people. I just think that the bubble, and Lou's right, the bubble is a safer premise, okay? Much safer premise than what Major League Baseball and what the National Football League want to do. But if you're spiking numbers in Orlando with young people and your guys violate the rules and get outside the bubble, then all bets are off. You're screwed. We're going to get back to Cam Newton. He signs a deal. It's loaded with incentives. How do you feel about it? We get to your phone calls at 617-779-7937.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
That's right. We're all going to fight this COVID-19.
Is this high school
musical?
We're all
in this together. We're all
in
this together.
That's what they tell me. They tell me we're all in this together.
Wow.
That's right. We're all in this together. What if I really tried to sing it seriously, if I could actually hold a note?
Based on what I just heard right there, I would tend to doubt it. I wouldn't go 0% like Buster, but 5%? I would go like 22%, 23%.
That's Buster being optimistic. 5%. Jeez, man. Doom and gloom. Henny Penny.
So big sports story today. The Patriots are about to sign Cam Newton. Haven't done it officially yet because they haven't given him the physical yet. So I guess there's still a chance, but he might not be here. But go on the premise that he passes the physical. He's okay. They're going to give him veteran minimum. And there are incentives where he can make up to like $7.5 million, which for a quarterback of his caliber is not much. Now, can we get back to the same problem we had with Jarrett Stidham? Where are the great receivers that he's going to be throwing to? And I would add this, the two that you're relying the most on, Julian Edelman and James White, really based on the routes and what they do, they rely on accuracy, something that Tom Brady was as good as anybody at. I'm not sure I could look at Cam Newton as a quarterback. There are a lot of things he can do, certainly that Brady can't do, certainly with his legs. He's not an accurate throwing quarterback, guys.
You know what he is, though? You know what he has, though? The throws that he's got, easy throws, because they're all catch and run throws. It's 8 yards this way. It's a flare route that way. It's a wheel route. I would say high percentage throws. They're not really, you know, tough, you know, mechanical throws that he's going to have to make. And I will say this, the easiest ones, the big ones, are going to be, the first one's going to be catch and runs from his tailbacks, so maybe his tight ends, but I'm not thinking of, I'm going to get a lot from those guys. Play action, deep routes. You're going to live off those. You're going to live off those routes with them having to commit another person, another player in the box with the threat of a run. Third down, red zone. He's a threat. It's an option, guys, and you got to take him seriously. Mm-hmm. With Brady, even if they tried to hint that he was going to run, nobody believed him.
No.
It always had to be a broken play where all the defenders' backs were turned to him and they were running downfield because they thought their ball was going to go over their head. So he was able to run. The guy ran for what, barely got 1,000 yards in 20 years? Barely got 1,000? Remember, we were watching it to see when he was going to get to 1,000 yards rushing for a career? Hey,
Cam Newton gets 750, 800.
I mean, it's like, come on. I mean, it's just, what they have now is ridiculous.
I really think the guy that really is going to benefit a lot from this guy is Sony Michel. Like, you know, I mean, when he's in that football game, he runs, okay? When they don't throw the ball to him because he can't catch. So now if you're a linebacker and, you know, Sony Michel's in there and you see that handoff, you just commit. With Cam Newton at quarterback, can you? Can you commit the same way as Sony Michel, like a play action, say, with Tom Brady at quarterback, and think, okay, I could stop the run. Sony Michel's in the game. He's about to hand it off to him. They could play action off him, of course. But just stopping the run. Can you commit the same way in stopping Sony Michel with Cam Newton under center the way you did with Brady?
See, but I think you really need to be careful, because I do think that, you know, the wear and tear of a running quarterback is significant now at his age.
But like, I'm just talking once in a while. I'm not talking every single time.
No. It's
going to
be. So Russell Wilson
does it.
It's
not Lamar Jackson.
Josh Allen does it. All these quarterbacks do it. Wentz does it. All of them do it. Dak Prescott, they all have it.
Well, one linebacker or safety in the box that kind of thinks twice about selling off and going out and getting Sony Michel and just sort of waiting, I think that opens it up a little bit more.
See,
for Sony.
I think about it, the year that they did run well, the year they won the Super Bowl, the last one against the Rams, to me that was real easy, like old school I formation blocking. I'm going to push you against you against your will. You're going to try and stop me. That whole thing, just sheer domination. Now, it's angles. It's eye candy in the backfield. It's a lot of misdirection. It's a lot of the defensive players having to be real disciplined with their eyes and all that stuff. That to me, they've never had ever. So if I'm Josh McDaniels, I am grinning ear to ear going, oh, my God, this is actually an option. I've been seeing all these other teams do it. Now I get to do it.
Yeah, but here's the one issue that I would have with this is that the biggest fear I have with Cam Newton is he can't stay healthy any longer. And he's now 31. He should be in the peak of his NFL career. And his biggest problem is he gets beaten up in the run. He bitches about it all the time. So what you need is you need his legs as part of his expansion of his game. On the other hand, if you do that, aren't you giving it more opportunity that he's going to go out there and he's going to get hurt?
Listen, Julian Edelman is guilty of this. He can't get out of his own way. Gronk was a victim of this. You tell him to get down, it's just not in his nature. I think their toughest task is going to be convincing him that getting down, even though he gives up 3 or 4 yards, is more important than getting those 3 or 4 yards. I mean, and you think, you keep talking about how he's been injured. So the injuries that he's had was an ankle and a shoulder.
No, two shoulders.
I would say that the shoulders are a product of him running the football, of getting hit. You just can't. Eventually, it's going to catch up to you, and it did. So, but the fact that he was able to basically take a year off, have a whole offseason, heal up. He's lighter. He's not nearly as big. I mean, he's naturally big, but he's not nearly as thick as he used to be. Shows me that, you know, he'll be aware of that. And they'll give him example after example after example. Here's a running quarterback who isn't a running quarterback. Here's Russell Wilson, who's a run. Here's Aaron Rodgers, who's a running quarterback that isn't a running quarterback.
You trust him back in the pocket? Because I don't. Not yet.
Yeah. No, not yet.
I don't think Cam Newton is.
No, he's the better. His biggest throws have been from the benefit of his ability to run.
The fear of him running.
Yes, broken plays. Yep. I mean, if you're going to compare Cam Newton. If you would hope he looks like anybody, I guess I'm picking this guy because the size, there's a size equivalent there, would be Ben Roethlisberger.
I would agree.
He's just big. People, if he's got an uncanny ability to avoid tackles, he always keeps the play alive, but he doesn't run. He's always looking downfield.
No, but he fights through it, and because of that, he gets hurt, as Ben Roethlisberger does, because he fights to get those extra 2 or 3 yards, and he's very difficult to tackle.
But Ben's thing was not, he was not scrambling to run. He was scrambling to
survive,
to survive behind the line of scrimmage because he wanted to throw it downfield. Yeah. To me, that would be my comp. Hey, listen,
I
like
think
Ben.
It's a good comp. We actually mentioned that last week, that we thought that that would be a good landing spot for Cam Newton if Ben Roethlisberger out of the gate got hurt, because they could just drop him in there, and he does a lot of the things that Roethlisberger does. All right, back to the phone calls. Here's Brad next up here on OMF. Hello, Brad.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
What's up?
Good, Brad. Hey,
Brad.
Not much. Glenn, I have felt the obligation to call because for once in 10 years, I actually agree with you, and I feel like the guys are being a little hard on you.
Thank you very much, Brad.
Yeah, well,
appreciate it, bro.
I feel like
how are we being meanies?
The whole year was to run with Stidham, and he was going to be perfectly fine starting the season with Stidham. It was only until Cam Newton's crisis came down to the point Bill was comfortable with that he brought him on. I don't think it was to take his job. I just think it was the benefit of the team. And my analogy would be that 3 years ago when Tom Brady's a starter, if Aaron Rodgers happened to be on the free market for $1 million, Bill would have signed him.
You sure about that?
What do you guys think about that?
Well, I disagree.
I do, for $1 million?
I don't think they would have. I mean, I don't know. Like, so, Brad, you started off with you were ready to see Jared Stidham like start the year and play, and you thought he'd be good enough. Is it just because of what you've been reading and hearing?
It's not so much what I'm reading and hearing. It's more, and it's kind of, I know he's had a track record of not, but it's more of my trust in Bill and the fact that winning is his ultimate goal. I don't feel like he would tank for any reason, and I don't think he would. His pride would inhibit him from doing whatever he thought would get him the most wins for the season. And if he trusts Stidham, if he was ready to roll with Stidham, then I, and me personally, I was ready to roll with him as well.
Yeah, because you and
you
Bill,
are,
we
you
trust.
Are a ride or dive. I tell you what. Hey, where are we going? Don't worry about it. Just get in the truck. Yeah. Okay, let's go.
Whatever Bill told you, you were ready to go. Yeah. What if Cam Newton was the plan the whole time? And when they touched base with him early in spring, and they just said, you know, let's see how free agency goes, but you know, we're very interested in you. Of course, with the way COVID went, we can't have a physical. So until we can have a physical with you and look at you ourselves, but we're definitely interested. And you know, if things don't shake out, once you started seeing guys go certain places and Cam was still out there, maybe they knew the whole time they were getting him.
I mean, that's a tough assumption to make in the fact that no one else would sign him for $1 million. I don't think Bill would put his season on the line in a hope that Cam Newton would fall to him. I feel like his plan was with Stidham. I feel like it was the reverse. His plan was to run with Stidham. He's seen enough of him. And that if Cam became available, it was only going to be a benefit to the team to have two potentially.
I mean, I honestly could see a conversation where it's like, listen, Cam, there's like 2 or 3 spots open right now. And I mean, if you want to go to New Orleans to sit behind Drew, fine. You know, if you want to go here, fine. You know, but if you want a chance to start, stay with us for a little bit. We want a physical of you first, and we can't do that for another month or two. And it just sort of played out exactly that way.
Yeah, but
I think there's a very good chance that that might have happened.
It might have happened, but you're risking far too much at that point. If you really want Cam Newton, you've got to find a creative way of being able to get him before another team gets him. Unless you clearly knew that 31 other teams did not want him, Lou, then your chances of getting Cam Newton were very slim. A little bit higher than Buster Olney's point.
I think we got to the point where after the first week of free agency, we got to the point where there was, you know, 2 or 3 landing spots. Like, that was it.
For who?
I mean, for who? I don't know. Winston and Dalton.
For Cam Newton?
And Cam Newton.
He had no landing spots. There were no landing spots.
No, there was only 2 or 3 options as far as teams that were maybe looking for
quarterbacks. Yeah, but you don't know. There might be another team that comes out of nowhere. If Bill really wanted Cam Newton, he would have redone contracts with other players to get at least some money, $5, $6, $7, $8 million, to be able to guarantee it to Cam Newton. What ended up happening is he sat it out because he was satisfied with Stidham. Would he like an opportunity of bringing in Cam Newton? Yeah. What's to lose? Maybe he can be my starting quarterback, because I still don't know if Stidham's going to do it in the line of fire. Maybe it pushes Stidham where he's better. He takes his game to the next level because he's getting pushed by a seasoned veteran who was an MVP. Got nothing to lose. But Bill didn't do that. He waited until the player got desperate at that point. Yeah, we'll take you. So at veteran minimum? Just, why not? You got nothing to lose.
Looking at some of these receivers, and I said catch and run guys. Mohamed Sanu looks like he's going to be healthy. Looks good. He can run routes uphill, which is pretty impressive because all football fields are flat, Lou. So he should be able to run
flat,
faster.
They don't have any bumps on them?
No,
I like
no.
How about the old field up in Buffalo? Remember that one? It had the crown.
That one was at an elevated, a lot of those old stadiums had that. So the water would drain, Glenn. Yeah. That's how they did it. So Mohamed Sanu, catch and run. Rex Burkhead, catch and run. James White, catch and run.
Which requires an accurate quarterback.
Catch and run. Hold on. So your only downfield threat right now, and you want to give Jacoby Myers some love, fine, go ahead. I'm not. Is N'Keal Harry. Now, you can sit there and look at how bad this group was, and you can blame it on the offensive line. You can say it was their fault. They never gave him any time. They had no one was ever scared of them running the football. You can blame it on Brady if you want. Hell, you can say, you can say whatever you want. The fact is that he doesn't really have a great receiving core at the moment. Now, we'll see what happens, but a lot of these guys are backs, guys out of the backfield. So a lot of the same routes that Christian McCaffrey run, James White is going to run. Rex Burkhead could run. Sony Michel is not going to run.
So let me ask you this.
And that's because where Cam has been extremely accurate,
right?
At least in 2018.
Short, listen, what a surprise. A quarterback that can throw short passes to running backs and receivers that'll do the work for him.
Right. So he had some people he could throw to, backs in Carolina. He had tight end that he could throw to. And he's had a couple of wide receivers he can throw to. Friend of the show, Trey Wingo, just tweeted this out. Cam Newton was the MVP of the 2015 season, leading Carolina to a 15-1 record and an appearance in Super Bowl 50. Cam since then. Since the start of 2016, his NFL ranking, quarterback rating, 30th overall in the league at 48.9. Touchdown interception ratio, 65. Touchdowns, 44 INTs, 30th in the National Football League. Completion percentage, 60% and barely. You have to round it off. 33rd. In the National Football League.
Glenn, you got the scouts out, don't you?
I do, Bill. So those aren't the same numbers and what we saw in 2015. And so it worries me, guys. And if you're looking at him right now saying at 31, the one thing he does really well, or certainly has done over the last few years, is still run the ball and obviously keep the defense off guard. That is something at age 31 you don't want him doing an awful lot of out there, because that's where he gets hurt. And that's been his problem. Those numbers are low because he's had so many physical ailments.
Yeah, he had a couple really bad years after that MVP season.
And they're always physical, Lou. He says it. He tells people that.
But I look at like Newton, and I've said this about Gronk. I think a year away will help make his body feel better. Now, I don't know what he's going to be like week 8, but I think coming into the year, I think Gronk feels better than he's felt in a long time. He took a year off of football. And I would assume that Cam Newton would feel the same way, being a year off, basically missing all of last year and rehabbing, that his body feels good. Now, we disagree on the year of 2018, but, whether it was good or bad. But that year in 2018, throwing to Christian McCaffrey, was 86.3% completion percentage. So I'm not worried about those little short dumps to James White. That's one area where in 18 he was absolutely outstanding. So, listen, if he's healthy, I think you're going to get a Cam Newton that's very good.
I would agree.
That's a lot better than Jared Stidham right now.
I would agree. And what do you think the percentage?
Why Bill brought him up.
Okay. So what are the percentages he's going to be healthy? 31 of the teams passed on him. Bill only took him at veteran minimum. Why? Because they're not sure he's going to be healthy. But you're right. If he's healthy, he might not be what he was in 2015, but he certainly is going to be a pretty good quarterback, and he certainly should be better than the unknown of Jared Stidham.
If he's looking for guaranteed money, he wouldn't be here because they don't have the room in the cap. Now, maybe it was failed chances to try to minimize that or try to maximize it and get some more cap space that you weren't able to do it because Joe Tooney's not willing to play ball and got to the point where he's like, listen, this is all we can do.
Well, you could have moved somebody around if you needed to get a few million bucks for him. They weren't going to do that. And when it got down to minimum, then you're right. Then every team becomes the same now.
Well, as little of a contract he signed guaranteed, they don't have the room, correct? They have like $685,000 under the cap.
Yes, and actually it's only going to cost them like $600,000. In guaranteed money.
I mean, they're going to move money. They're not going to walk into the season with, like, you know, zero cap space. So they'll do something to kind of clear it up.
But even the incentives go to next year, 2021, correct, when they're going to have plenty of cash.
That's why it makes too much sense.
Right. Well, it does for them, because at this point, there's no other alternative. He doesn't have any alternative. All right, 617-779-7937. A big football story today. Cam Newton is now in the quarterback room for your New England Patriots.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.